Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Thank you for listening to this podcast from TRE, Talk Radio Europe, your voice in Spain and around the world. For more information, please visit tre.radio.
Discuss, challenge, inform, comment, viewpoint on Talk Radio Europe.
Giles Brown.
Live comment and discussion with studio guests.
Viewpoint.
It is Tuesday, thank you. Tuesday, the 28th of February. Listen to Let's Talk with me, Giles Brown, live with you until 12 o'clock. Talk Radio Europe's current affairs program, a discussion program with invited guests. Looking forward to your phone calls today. Going to go live to Kyiv to Ukraine in about 5 minutes' time to talk to John Sweeney. He'll be looking back at the past year with the conflict and where we go now. In the second half of the show, also in the show today, going to be looking at the front pages and looking at what's going on in the world, including the new Brexit deal, the Windsor Protocol announced by Rishi Sunak last night. If you want to get your viewpoint across on any matter, look forward to your phone calls. These are the numbers.
To contact TRE, please call 952-78-4000. Email studio at tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
And those front pages this morning, a deal reached between the UK and the European Union is to amend the Northern Ireland Protocol dominates today's front pages. Brexit breakthrough reads the headline in the Times. Inside, it says the devil will be in the details of the deal. The Daily Mail asks, has Rishi done the impossible? It says a feared Tory revolt melted away after Prime Minister Rishi Sunak unveiled what the paper calls a historic deal. In its editorial comment, the Daily Telegraph says Monday was arguably Sunak's best day yet as Prime Minister, adding that time will tell if he has pulled off a political triumph. 1,215 days late, Brexit deal is finally done, is how the Metro puts it. The Sun's headline says, got Brexit done again, before adding in brackets, hopefully. Inside the paper, the Foreign Secretary, James Cleverly, has written an article in which he says the agreement is a turning point for Northern Ireland. The Guardian reports the deal has been broadly welcomed, but that the Prime Minister still faces opposition from hardline Brexiteers. The DUP have sounded a warning over the claim that Stormont will be able to veto new European law, according to the Eye. The paper also says Boris Johnson is weighing up whether or not to intervene. In an editorial, the Dublin-based Irish Times sees the deal as a route to stability and progress, but adds that the very nature of Brexit means that no agreement is going to give everyone all that they are looking for. In his column, Sam McBride of the Belfast Telegraph says that the Windsor framework is more democratic and less unpalatable for unionism, but is not what Sunak has claimed. He says the Prime Minister's spin is not backed up by the fine detail of a phenomenally bureaucratic new system, and the reality is that the Irish Sea border will be staying. One of a kind is how both The Express and The Sun describe Betty Boothroyd, the first female Speaker of the Commons, who has died aged 93. The Guardian quotes the current Speaker, Sir Lindsay Hoyle, calling her an inspirational woman. The Telegraph says she was renowned for her fair play, sense of humour and passionate belief in the sovereignty of Parliament. And The Star reports that the president of Mexico has claimed that a mythical tree-climbing elf has been captured on camera. Yes, the actual president of the paper says those headlines again today from the top, obviously dominated pictures of Prime Minister Sunak shaking hands with Ursula von der Leyen of the European Commission. PM hails new chapter in relations with EU after Northern Ireland deal. The Times, Brexit breakthrough. The Metro, you can put the oven on. Obviously, that is the oven-ready deal that Johnson said he had. Sunak scores breakthrough on Brexit as tensions loom. That's the I. The Financial Times, Northern Ireland trade deal eases post-Brexit tensions with Brussels. The Daily Telegraph, Sunak, my deal is a new way forward. The Daily Mail, has Rishi done the impossible? The Mirror. The Mirror looks at the ashes of Peter Sutcliffe, the serial killer, known as the Yorkshire Ripper, have been scattered at a beauty spot near the Cumbrian village of Arnside. Evil's End, it says. The Sun. Sun says Broadchurch star Andrew Buchan has left his wife, Downton Abbey's Amy Nuttall, and is believed to be living with Layla Farzad, his co-star in TV series Better. That's according to The Sun. Okie dokie. And finally, it's all happening in the world right now. Mexico Prez, I've caught an elf. There you go. Yes, the actual president. So that is that. Those are your headlines this Tuesday, the 28th of February.
The weather forecast is brought to you by Liberty Seguros. Liberty Seguros, the number one preferred expat insurer, has more than 200 dedicated expat agents and brokers who understand your needs and speak your language.
On Talk Radio Europe. Find us at tre.radio.
Okay, quick look at your weather. Costa del Sol, 9 degrees and sunny. Granada, 2 degrees, blimey, and sunny. Almeria, guess what? It's sunny and 12 degrees. Murcia, sunny, 7 degrees. Alicante, 8 degrees and sunny. Sunshine and also some cloud in Denia, 8 degrees. Mixture, cloudy with light rain in Ibiza, 8 degrees. Overcast with moderate rain in Palma. Snow the other day, incredible. And finally, 10 degrees and sunny on the rock. That's your weather.
The weather on Talk Radio Europe. Find us at tre.radio.
Viewpoint with Giles Brown.
And we seem to be having some problems getting hold of John Sweeney in Kyiv. Wouldn't you know, as the saying goes. 952-784-4000 is the phone number. Studio at tre.radio is the email. The Facebook page is Talk Radio Proficial. And you can WhatsApp me on +34 645 9967. Yeah, we seem to have a problem getting through to John. Just give me 1 second while I try and sort this particular problem out.
To contact TRE, please call 952 78 4000. Email studio at tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 9967 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
Yeah, he's out on the road at the moment, so unfortunately he might not be able to pick up the phone today, but we shall. We shall heroically go through. If you want to get involved with today's show, this is talking about Rishi Sunak's deal with the Brexit deal he's pulled off. Julie comes, I rather like this analogy. It's not mine, by the way. It's like somebody setting fire to a building, then asking for praise for putting part of it out. Indeed. And good morning to Richard as well. If you want to get involved with the show, if you've got any thoughts about what we have in times are in terms of the Brexit deal. Again, these headlines again. The DUP has warned that key issues of concern remain over the new Brexit agreement. The Prime Minister Rishi Sunak described his deal on post-Brexit trading arrangements for Northern Ireland as a decisive breakthrough, and many Tory MPs have given their backing to the agreement. However, while the DUP acknowledged significant progress, leader Sir Geoffrey Donaldson said his party would study the legal text before deciding whether to support the deal. His party won't be rushed all pushed into a hasty decision. That's what he told the Belfast Telegraph. Meanwhile, hidden NH data shows that half of all excess deaths last year were caused by patients facing long waits in A&E. This is according to the Times. The Royal College of Emergency Medicine attained figures showing that 1,656,206 patients spent at least 12 hours in A&E departments, and an estimated that 23,000 of these patients later died as a result. 23,000 patients died as a result as waiting. The college estimated that these potentially died in 2022, equaling 446 patients a week. An NHS England spokesperson said the cause of excess deaths is down to a number of different figures. Meanwhile, a couple who disappeared with their newborn baby have been found and arrested in Brighton, but the baby is still missing, the police said. Constance Martin and Mark Gordon, who were spotted in Brighton by a member of the public last night, have been taken into custody. The couple have appeared to be avoiding the police, travelling in quick succession to Liverpool, Essex, Colchester and London, said the BBC. Police said they were extremely concerned for the well-being of the baby. Meanwhile, an Israeli-American has been shot and killed in the West Bank as violence escalates in the occupied territory. The man was killed in a revenge attack on vehicles on a highway near the city of Jericho after Israeli settlers had attacked Palestinian villages in the West Bank on Sunday night, with dozens of cars and houses burnt. The settlers' retaliatory rampage in the Palestinian visit has been compared to a Kristallnacht in Huwara by one commentator. It came after two settlers from a nearby village were shot dead by a Palestinian on Sunday. Meanwhile, Hong Kong has become one of the last major international cities to lose the requirement to wear face masks in nearly 3 years after it was put in place to prevent the spread of COVID-19. Hong Kong's rule, enforced through fines that could reach more than $1,000, had required facial coverings in all public spaces. However, it will be lifted tomorrow, the city has announced, some 956 days after it was imposed. I'm looking forward to seeing a smile on everyone's face now, said Health Secretary Lo Mao Chung. Meanwhile, this is an interesting one. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis warned people to buckle up as he tightened his control over Walt Disney World. The Republican signed a bill giving the state control over Disney's Orlando theme parks, a move seen as a retaliation after Disney opposed state laws curtailing gender and sexuality education. There's a new sheriff in town, and accountability will be the order of the day, he said. Disney's shares were up 0.4% on Monday, noted Reuters. Meanwhile, 3 in 10 women are harassed whilst exercising, according to a report by Sports England. The study found that there are 5.8 million women in England who enjoy sport and exercise, compared with 8.2 million men, and this enjoyment gap is influenced by fears over safety. 1 in 5 women told researchers they are concerned about sexual harassment when working out, and the figure doubles to 2 in 5. 2 in 5 when outdoors in the dark. A spokesperson for Sport England called for activities for women to be social, suitable and self-affirming and safe. Court documents revealed that Rupert Murdoch acknowledged it under oath that several Fox News hosts endorsed Donald Trump's claim that the 2020 election was stolen from him. The Fox News owner made the admission during a deposition in the $1.6 billion defamation lawsuit brought against the network by a voting machine company, which has accused Fox News and its parent company of maligning its reputation. Some of our commentators were endorsing it, Murdoch said. I would have liked us to be stronger in denouncing it, in hindsight, he added. Meanwhile, the niece of the Yorkshire Ripper said some of her uncle's remains were scattered by the seaside in a beauty spot in Arnside, Cumbria. Peter Sutcliffe, who was convicted of 13 murders, died in 2020, aged 74. After contracting COVID, revealing where his father's ashes were scattered, his niece Emily Sutcliffe told the Mirror, I was taken there once or twice when I was a child. It was lovely. It is lovely. That area means a lot to the whole family. We had family living in the area at the time and would visit it. And finally, Matt Hancock has been seen wearing a signed football shirt he sold at auction to raise money for the NHS. The former health secretary donated the Newcastle United shirt on an online auction hosted by the radio DJ Chris Evans in 2020, describing it as his pride and joy. Although it sold for a reported £1,850 at auction, Hancock was seen wearing the shirt in a video posted to his TikTok on Sunday. A spokesperson for Hancock said the shirt was returned to the MP by the winner of the auction. And those are your headlines on this Tuesday, the 28th of February. If you want to get involved with today's viewpoint, here are the numbers.
To contact TRE, please call 952 78 4000. Email studio at tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
I choose deliberately to believe that human beings mostly are programmed not to want to offend.
On Let's Talk with me, Giles Brown, find a new way of looking at things.
Disability is part of the richness of human experience.
Often controversial, always compelling.
The purpose of prison is to rehabilitate people, reintegrate them into society, not to brutalise people.
Let's Talk, weekdays except Tuesdays, 10 a.m. on Talk Radio Europe.
How does one become a courtier?
It's an ancient satanic ritual which I can't possibly tell you, Giles.
Let's Talk is brought to you by homesandlegal.com, working to put you directly in touch with thousands of international property buyers and sellers.
To contact TRE, please call 952 78 4000. Email studio at tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
And thanks to Richard on the WhatsApp, who goes, is this even news, Matt Hancock and his football shirt? Well, it's news, Jim, but not as we know it, as they used to say on Star Trek. Right then, I'm having some trouble getting hold of my first guest today. He's out in the field in Ukraine, so unfortunately, we'll try bringing you the latest from John Sweeney, which causes something, I think, of a problem for me, because I was having John as my major guest in this morning, and now my phone has decided to go off left, right, and centre. Thank you for that. So I would appreciate your calls in, because otherwise we're going to have I might have to read the entire phone book to you guys, or at least the wasteland. 952-78-4000, the phone number. Studio at tre.radio is the email. The Facebook page is Talk Radio Europe. Would look forward to your comments on the situation. Is it a Brexit deal? Is this going to be the new beginning in Brexit that perhaps the papers were looking for? Perhaps commentators wanted the Brexit breakthrough, but tensions are looming. That's the main thing. Guardian reporting that the agreement, which reduces checks on goods moving from Great Britain to Northern Ireland, has been called a decisive breakthrough by Prime Minister Rishi Sunak and European Commission President Ursula von der Leyen. The paper adds that it comes after 4 months of intense negotiations. Looking forward to your thoughts on that.
TRE Viewpoint with Giles Brown.
And it's the lines we go. Morning, Cooley, live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
I'm Kay Costablanca.
Yes, good morning to you.
Morning. Two things. One, the obvious big news, as far as a Brit is concerned, is the London deal, as it's been called, that the Prime Minister has helped to push forward.
Yeah.
And as far as we go, I'll come back to that. But then quickly, the fact that we're all the people who've previously lost their British vote in the national elections are now in enfranchised to vote. And it would be nice if someone like Maya could check what people need to do to, in the technical side, to regain it.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll go back to the London deal.
Yeah, the Windsor thing they're talking about, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Basically, the Rishi Sunak has been sneered at for not doing anything.
Yeah.
He seems to have had one fantastic influence on the Tory party as currently existing. To demonstrate it is possible to negotiate something that gives everyone something that they want. And that's what the what's on the table at the moment. He is going to try and get the DUP, whose line is the intransigent no or never, to see that they couldn't actually gain something from this. They've been increasingly regarded as being irrelevant, apart from the negative, for, I think, 20 years longer. And this deal would give them some legitimacy still in voting in Northern Ireland. The point is that the last vote, the last national election of time, the Sinn Féin had won more seats than the DUP.
Yeah.
And there is a certain kind of backwoodsman mentality which certainly the Brexiteers tapped into massively in England, within the DUP, that, you know, over my dead body. Unfortunately, the body politic in Northern Ireland has changed quite dramatically.
Yeah.
And it's they're no longer the legitimate power base, but reaction to the vote of the last elections was to say, no, right, we'll pull out the plug and we won't actually go in and Stormont can't meet. So Stormont's been under direct British government rule, although constitutionally it ought to be devolved. And the only reason it's not operating under a devolved government is that the DUP can't stand the idea that they might have to be placed second fiddle to the Sinn Féin. At the moment, Sunak appears to have set the line against the knee-jerk, stupid line of the ERG on the one hand, and the and Boris and Farage on the other, and then thirdly Farage, of not negotiating anything. We had been used in Britain to working with the EU and negotiating. Sunak has demonstrated that it is still possible for a British government to do that. For that alone, he deserves some kind of respect.
Mm. It's interesting, isn't it, about your point about the DUP, and it's not really in their interest to have Stormont come back to the devolved rule, because, you know, if they do come back, Michelle O'Neill will basically take over, and she is the the leader in waiting, the Sinn Féin the Sinn Féin member, obviously.
But it is in their interest to not being seen continuously,
yeah,
as the knee-jerk, no-back, you know, we have suffered an election defeat and we're not going to respect it.
Yeah, exactly.
And that it's in their interest to demonstrate that they can actually work with their opposite numbers.
As you say, but the political landscape in Northern Ireland has changed. 25 years since the Good Friday Agreement, and again the landscape has changed somewhat in that quarter of a century.
Yes, absolutely.
Thanks very much for the call in there, Kate. Always good to hear from you, as always. If you want to get a viewpoint across to me, these are the numbers.
To contact TRE, please call 952-78-4000. Email studio@tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
And thank you for all the people who are trying to tell me how to do my job. Good to have you with us as well. 952 78 4000. Good luck. Yes, thank you so much for that one. 952 78 4000. And the phones go off again. You see, cometh the hour, cometh the man, woman, or whatever pronoun you wish to use. Morning caller, you're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Yeah, hi. I was just turning the radio off.
Yep.
It's just an interesting point that Kate made when she said that one has an election and people aren't respecting the result. Sounds like Brexit to me.
Right, okay. Yeah, well, it's a referendum, comment. Right? That was just a comment, but it's a referendum rather than an election, but yeah.
That she says people should, like in Northern Ireland, they should... But I say, it would appear that Brexit...
The line's a bit sketchy in there, John, so I don't know what's happening for the good people in Meath this morning, but it sounds quite interesting. Thanks for the call in there. No, take care. 952 78 4000, the phone number, studio at tre.radio is the email, the Facebook page is Talk Radio Europe Official. Why should everybody respect a stupid decision? Ah, well, some would argue that that is one of the joys of living in a democracy. Even if you don't agree with it, you go along with it, apparently. But yeah, referendums stroke elections. Be good to hear from you. Good morning to, I'm just seeing who's coming in on this one. Don't seem to have a name on that one, the WhatsApp, etc. Trying to get hold of John over in Ukraine, but not having a lot of luck with that at the moment. Morning, caller, you're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint? Hello, caller.
Is that me again?
It is indeed you again.
Right. The answer to the last caller is that Britain accepted a very, very narrow vote on Brexit that was not the one that any state accepts for changing the constitution. The normal controls that should have been put in place by Cameron, they're saying, like, for a constitutional change that we're talking, we're giving you the chance to vote on, should be at least 70-30. It was something more like 49-51. And Farage said that had he not, they not won, he would have queried it. I.e., it's not big enough for that kind of change. So there's been, to my mind, a surprising and depressing acceptance of such a very, very narrow ground. And when you heard interviews at the time, people were voting on so many different things. There wasn't a consensus as to what they wanted, and that's why it remains an absolute mess, which Johnson merely, stirred.
I remember having a conversation with somebody in Spain who had voted for Brexit, and I said, why did you vote for Brexit? And he looked at me and said, because I didn't want an EU army. And that was his main point of voting. So it was an interesting thing. And a lot of people were voting against immigration, et cetera, and not realizing the whole thing. So that, you know, stirred up another kettle of pescado, as they say in these parts.
Well, that's the idea that people haven't accepted the vote of Brexit isn't wrong. They accepted far too readily the legitimacy of that kind of vote for that kind of change. And it's been depressing. Cheers.
Thanks very much for those. Thanks very much for that, Kate. Thank you, Richard. As the saying went, and he said, the follower, Richard says, a couple of things Richard's saying. This is not the Brexit deal. It doesn't eliminate all the issues. And it hasn't this Brexit deal has not been ratified yet. So there's still quite a few things that could happen, between now and a ratification. The fact that there has been very little comment, some people are saying, from the DUP is, you know, no news is good news, or is it? Live to the lines we go again. Morning, caller, you're live on TRE. Thank you for calling. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Yeah, I'm sorry to dispute what Kate said, but
it's viewpoint. That's Irish, what we do.
Yeah, but I mean, it's sort of pathetic, really. But the Northern, she said that people should respect the outcome of the election, and DPP should. Sinn Féin have 27 seats out of 90 in Northern Ireland, so it's probably similar to the referendum result. It's in fact a minority, considerable minority, that voted for Sinn Féin. I'm Irish, by the way.
Yes. thanks very much. The morning
okay,
call.
Bye. Oh,
thanks. Bye. Morning caller, you're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Good morning, Giles. It's Jason.
Morning, Jason.
All right. Yeah, as far as the DUP go, they're in awkward position because they've got the hardline voters and more flexible ones, and they need to be careful because there's danger that they become marginalised and insignificant by not returning to Stormont, etc. And the other dimension to consider is America, because America wants some kind of harmony here, and also we need to be careful that people say that Northern Ireland is not working, and then the problem they've got is maybe the shouts come for a united Ireland more and more. So the DUP are in a really tricky position, and it's not helping anyone by not having Stormont up and running. Do you understand? So that's just what I wanted to say, really. It's a mess, isn't it?
it's interesting, and Biden, President Biden came in yesterday, didn't he, to say that he was encouraged by the deal yesterday, not wanting to underestimate or undermine the deal. Yeah,
well, division's bad for business, isn't it? And you know, if we can get a peaceful solution, amicable, a compromise here, then and surely we're capable of doing it in other parts of the world. You see what I mean? So it's always better to try and to find a peaceful solution and a way forward. And everybody has to compromise, because nobody gets everything they want in this world. And that's the way it is.
Jason, wise words indeed, Jason. Thank you for that.
Bye-bye.
952-78-4000 is the phone number. Studio at tre.radio is the email. The Facebook page is Talk Radio Europe Official, and you can WhatsApp me. Yes, you can, on +34 645 99 67 95. Would appreciate your emails, because we've got a slightly different viewpoint. Don't put all your eggs in one basket, especially if it's a tenuous long distance basket. All right, okay. Meanwhile, it's a good thing. Here we got another WhatsApp coming in. See, the great thing about live radio is open. You can just call in, and then you can speak to the nation on this Dear Andalusia. It's a good thing. Maybe this is probably a Dear Andalusia viewpoint you're seeing there. Anyway, it's a good thing they have agreed a new trade deal with the Northern Ireland Protocol, as there are benefits for a more normalised relationship between the UK and EU. It also shows what appalling negotiators Johnson and Frost were. They thought empty bluster mattered when it was weakness all along. Yesterday, in the House of Commons, Sunak rips apart Johnson's oven-ready deal, exposing its flaws, whilst being cheered on by Tory MPs who originally cheered and voted for Johnson's oven-ready deal. Sunak says it's wonderful that Northern Ireland gets privileged access to the single market. Meanwhile, England, Scotland and Wales look on and wonder why they don't get those benefits. There are even reports that Johnson phoned DUP members directly, urging them to be cautious supporting Sunak's Windsor deal. Thoughts and prayers for Johnson's ambitions and narcissism at this difficult time. Yeah. We wait in the wings to see what former Prime Minister Johnson does. Of course, the shortest ever, in time-wise, not height-wise, Prime Minister, that Liz Truss, was spectacularly dense over the week by saying that what we really needed was what Britain needed was to join something like a European NATO, which was basically the EU. Cometh the man, cometh the hour. Morning, caller, you're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Morning, Giles. It's Alf.
Morning, Alf.
How are you?
Well, you know, happy Dia de Andalucía. I'm wearing my... I'm resplendent in my green and white suit.
I'm unhappy because Malaga lost 1-0 in the 89th minute yesterday.
Oh, did they? Okay. Who were they playing?
Yeah, sad.
Who were they playing?
Well.
Who were they playing?
Never mind. We're not talking football.
Who were they playing?
They were playing Granada.
Oh, okay. Fair enough.
Granada. Granada are okay. They're fifth in the league, so they've probably been in the playoffs.
Right then. Fifth in the league. Going to the playoffs.
I just wanted to...
Tell me about the DUP, oven ready deals, why are people like Truss, who was, let's face it, a complete idiot as a prime minister, Johnson, who has been described by a listener on this very program as full of empty bluster, why are they sticking the oar in, Alf?
Well, they've got no place left in mainstream Tory politics, so they have to try and fight their way back, which is where Johnson always comes from. No doubt he's doing it so that he can write another book I read his book on Churchill, you know, pile of nonsense. But he makes a fortune from writing all this stuff, and was it £200,000 a year for writing his newspaper columns? He's back on that, and yeah, it's just... I always defend, they're not idiots. Yes, he might be full of bluster. They're intelligent people to get where they get, including Truss.
Can you not say cunning rather than intelligent?
They do stupid things, don't they?
Well.
They just do stupid things.
Right.
But what I wanted to talk about, well, let's go back to the beginning, because yesterday, you know, Starmer made the point, and many others, you know, the deal was struck by Johnson, and to be honest, as much as it sounds like a very good deal, it doesn't sound a lot of difference if you're passing goods through, and I'm not sure how many people do it, you're passing goods through Northern Ireland to Southern Ireland, i.e. into the EU, they're still going to have the 1,700 forms or whatever it is. And more important than that, because Jason was mentioning it, as of, you know, the DUP have to be aware. The problem we all have is that we aren't from Northern Ireland. We aren't members of the Unionist Party. Understanding their psyche and where they come from, and remember, they've been at this for many, many years of violence and everything that goes with it. So until the DUP come out and explain exactly if they are opposed to it, all they said is there are still problems with it. But what you never hear is, yeah, but what are the problems? Are they insurmountable problems or are they resolvable problems? And until they come out, people should stop telling people, you know, the DUP, you should vote in favour. Their issue is a single issue. The single issue is, are we being stripped apart from the real union? That's always, you know, and Jason said, oh, they could come under pressure for a United Ireland. They're already under pressure for a United Ireland. And as soon as they set up the Independent Party, which technically strips away, and whoever it was, Kate or someone mentioned about a minority, people forget, you know, Sinn Féin and all that went with them and all that goes with them are still a minority in Northern Ireland. And so they don't. And it's not even like the Brexit vote, you know, the independence vote, whatever it was, getting out of Europe vote. It's not even like that. This is simply their political aim is to not undermine any of the ties that keeps them in the union, to whatever level that goes. Now, I'm not being funny. I sort of dabbled on the edge of some of the Northern Ireland politics. Very difficult. Very, very difficult. And I just don't see how people from the outside... We can have a view. You know, I have a view. I think the deal is worth doing, but I don't think it's the solving of the problem for the DUP. And what will happen effectively is, yes, the DUP may be sidelined, but people also forget Stormont will only happen if the DUP join in. And there was a woman, I think she's the leader of the Independent Party, who made a really valid point. This is archaic. It goes back to the Northern Ireland Agreement, which is, what, 25 years old now? And the Good Friday Agreement, is 25 years old now. And what she said was quite clear. Politics in Northern Ireland has changed, not massively, but it has changed. There is this independent party, which is a big core of people in Northern Ireland, and they want to deal with things in a different way, and they want people to stop telling them what to do. And the DUP are now no different to Sinn Féin. It's like three-thirds of the country with a few odds and ends knocking around. So you've now got three parties. So the majority of the people, though, as I understand it, in Northern Ireland, wouldn't vote to leave the Union and wouldn't vote to leave the EU and didn't vote to leave the EU because they are unionists at heart. Even though they're independents, what they want is an ongoing peace process. They want an ongoing arrangement, and then the new IRA pop up and kill a guy, shoot a copper. People are still being hurt all the time because of the troubles that are still there. It's not as television violent as what it was in the bad old days. And I just think that people have got to understand where the DUP are coming from and stop talking down to them. They are intelligent. And the guy who I know he's probably the extreme of the DUP, quite rightly stands up and says, yes, but we've still got, you might have got rid of some of these forms for stuff to Northern Ireland, but we still have hundreds of thousands of forms in order to survive in the United Kingdom, in Great Britain. It's just unbelievable how people can just, we'll ignore them because they're just a minority. They're not a minority in Northern Ireland. Well, they are, but they're a very important minority, and we should listen to them, not keep rubbishing them. And keep on saying, just remember, it was the Tories that signed off this deal in the first place. It was the stupid Tories that were promoting leaving the European Union. It's the idiot Tories of today who are trying to defend what they've done based on the Good Friday Agreement, which I don't think they've ever been in agreement with. That was imposed on them by the United States, and the majority of people in the United Kingdom were saying, let's have peace in Ireland for a change. End of soapbox.
End of soapbox. Alf, as always, thank you very much for the call in there. 952.
Oh, and also, yeah. Sorry, and also, Kate, just go online. In order to get your vote back, all you have to do, if you can remember where you lived, go to the local electoral registration. You can do it online, and you just re-register to go onto the electoral roll, and then sort out your overseas either postal or proxy vote.
Thank you.
It's quite easy to do. Go online, do gov.uk.
There you go. Information and opinion as well today. Alf, I know that I'll speak to you a bit later on today as well. Thanks for that.
Well, I hope you get John Sweeney back. But
well, so do I, but he's out. I mean, obviously the situation in Ukraine at the moment is somewhat difficult. He said he'd be on the road, and he's obviously, for one reason or other, he's in a region with no coverage.
He's not being bombed.
Well, let's hope indeed. 95, thanks very much, Alf. Have a good, okay. And maybe speak to you a bit later. 952-784-4000 is the phone number. Studio@tre.radio is the email. The Facebook page is Talk Radio Europe Official. You can WhatsApp me on +34 645 99 67 95. Uncle Nigel said it would be unfinished business, actually. Okay. Why should anybody respect a stupid decision? Yes, let's all jump from a roof, from a clifftop. Genius. Going back to my comment about the gentleman that I met. And said he did it. He voted for Brexit because he didn't want a European army. An EU army could still be formed today after he voted leave. What a muppet. Well, he wasn't exactly the sharpest crayon in the box. This deal only sorts out trade, nothing else, or as Bodger calls it, chicken feed. Why should anyone take notice of a party? Why should anyone take any notice of what a party who believes the world was created only 5,000 years ago? Presumably this is the DUP, obviously. They're a tiny group of radical religionists with a funny accent. Well, that's one way of putting it. No filter on today's viewpoints, that's what I say. 952-784-4000. Getting the vote back. Ah, good morning to Stephen. Getting the vote back is a little, this is Senor Ritson, by the way, is a little more complicated than what Alf said it was, what Alf said. I will cover it at the start of my show today. Don't forget Stephen Ritson. Yes. Stephen Ritson brings us Europe Today from 12 o'clock, obviously having a look at what's been happening. In other news, happy Global Scouse Day, February the 23rd. Okay, thanks. That's presumably the dish rather than that fine city itself. Those are, I'd like to hear from you this morning on this viewpoint as we try to go to John in Kyiv or in Ukraine, but unfortunately we are having a few difficulties with that one.
The Remix.
This guy decided to charge his phone by sawing off the end of a 240 volt with wet hands.
A recap of the best interviews of the week.
Gratitude is a very, very powerful emotion. Gratitude is really an affirmation of goodness.
Saturdays from 1 p.m. and Sundays from 2 p.m.
I will cross the sea if my life wasn't dangerous, if I want to see my children having future.
To contact TRE, please call 952 78 4000. Email studio at tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
So, Prime Minister Rishi Sunak has agreed a new Windsor Framework Brexit deal with the European Union over trade agreements in Northern Ireland. Sunak met the European Commission President Ursula von der Leyen in Windsor yesterday and held a press conference to announce their agreement, which the Prime Minister said marked a new chapter in UK-EU relations. The hope on both sides is that the deal will settle the long-running dispute over the Northern Ireland Protocol. The UK government has sought to change the original protocol negotiated by Boris Johnson in 2019, arguing that since the UK left the single market in 2021, it's created unacceptable economic barriers in the trade between Great Britain and Northern Ireland. Nobody will get everything they want, but everybody will get something, a source close to the negotiations told the Daily Express. The issue will be whether it is enough for people to grudgingly accept it or not. Big chunks of the deal had already spilled out through unofficial channels, says the BBC, and Sunak will face enormous political challenge in getting Northern Ireland's largest unionist party, the DUP, to back it. While the agreement is yet to be published in full, here are the five key points the deal is hoping to address. The first element of Sunak's deal is designed to tackle the most practical and obviously disruptive element of the Northern Ireland Protocol, namely that it's effectively created a customs border between Great Britain and Northern Ireland. That's according to the Times. To address this issue, Sunak plans to introduce a trusted trader scheme that allows businesses to avoid all checks when moving goods from mainland UK to Northern Ireland, said the paper. Businesses will need to declare whether the goods are for sale in Northern Ireland or are then being exported onto the Republic of Ireland. Those sending goods to Northern Ireland will use a green lane system, whilst those exporting onwards will go through a red lane with full EU customs clearance in Northern Irish ports. Sunak said that the burdensome customs bureaucracy will be scrapped for green lane goods, and the deal has removed any sense of a border in the Irish Sea. The second element of the deal aims to address the issues within the Northern Ireland Protocol, which restricts Westminster from legislating on some Northern Irish matters. Under the current agreement, Northern Ireland must follow EU single market rules on VAT, state aid and alcohol duty. Sunak has now said that under the new deal, UK VAT and excise charges will apply in Northern Ireland. This means British products such as trees, plants and seed potatoes will be available in Northern Ireland, and pet travel requirements have been removed. A landmark settlement on medicines also means drugs approved for use by the UK regulator will be available in Northern Ireland. The protocol negotiated by Johnson meant that Northern Ireland would accept all future EU laws and the regulations and be under the jurisdiction of the European Court of Justice, a state of affairs that was hugely problematic for arch-Brexiteers and unionists, including those in the DUP, who prize Northern Ireland's place in the UK above all, said the Times. The new Stormont break will allow the Northern Ireland Assembly to pull an emergency break on changes to EU single market rules that might apply to the region, Sunak announced. He said it will help correct the democratic deficit and provide reassurance to everyone in Northern Ireland that they are in control of their own destiny. Sunak still faces the daunting task of selling the deal to the DUP, who have said they will not back it unless it's met its red lines, the seven tests the party outlined in June 2021. The problem for the DUP is it only give its full verdict on the deal once it's read the full and final text. It has left Downing Street braced for a response that is at best suspicious and potentially hostile. The Unionist Party warned over the weekend that an insufficient deal could leave Stormont in a permanent state of collapse if they refuse to re-enter power sharing. The problem for the DUP is that accepting that Sunak has reached a good deal will lead to them having to restore power sharing and facilitate the first Sinn Féin First Minister. Stephen Bush at the Financial Times said, so my understanding assumption is that whatever Sunak agrees will not be good enough for the DUP or the Tories. Some of the Conservative Party's Brexit ultras will take their lead from the DUP, while others just want an excuse to harm Sunak politically. Talking of which, the New Deal is one designed to effectively scrap Johnson's Northern Ireland Protocol Bill, which gives the UK government powers in domestic law, which gave the UK government powers in domestic law to unilaterally override the Brexit treaty with the EU. Sunak believes his deal has fixed fundamental legal changes that render the bill no longer necessary as a bargaining chip. But the iNews site reported that Johnson may be planning to make a constructive intervention shortly, in which he makes clear he believes Sunak should press ahead with legislation which Sunak has temporarily paused. But any such intervention would undoubtedly be seen as an attempt to undermine Sunak, said the paper, and even as a ploy to return as Prime Minister himself. So a lot to think about there with the announcement of the new Windsor framework. Those are just five of the main points, but we are waiting to see what the DUP come back with, whether former Prime Minister Boris Johnson will put his boot in, or is he too busy basking in the limelight of his £500,000 advance on his memoirs? Yes, indeed. Be good to hear from you. 952-78-4000 is the phone number. Studio at tre.radio is the email. The Facebook page is Talk Radio Proficient. You can WhatsApp me on +34 645 99 67 95. This coming in. Thank you very much, Richard. This is from Kremlin. Negotiations can end the war in Ukraine, but new geographical realities cannot be disregarded. Going to try and see if we can get John live from Ukraine in the second half of this morning's Let's Talk. But if not, looking forward to your comments today on this local holiday here in Andalusia. 952-78-4000 is the phone number. It is Tuesday, the 28th of February, last day of the month, indeed. And don't forget, we have all our normal programming in place today on TRE Talk Radio, Your Voice in Spain. Spanish and international news up next, and then back for a second half with today's Viewpoint with me, Giles Brown, live from the studios of TRE. News up next.
TRE. Talk Radio Europe. Discuss, challenge, inform, comment. Viewpoint on Talk Radio Europe.
Giles Brown.
Live comment and discussion with studio guests.
Viewpoint. And welcome back to a rather different viewpoint today on TRE Talk Radio Europe, Your Voice in Spain. It is Tuesday, the 28th of February. Happy Dia de Andalucía to everybody listening in there, wherever you're listening in the world, whether it be Marbella, Murcia, dare we say it, Moscow, Macclesfield, Montreal, or indeed Miami. Good to have you with us. Like to hear from you today on today's Viewpoint. Still unable to bring John Sweeney live from Ukraine. I'll be trying to get him through the show, but obviously he's busy. He's on the road today over in that embattled country.
To contact TRE, please call 952-78-4000. Email studio at tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
Yes, indeed. A couple who've gone missing for nearly 2 months ago have been found at a restaurant on suspicion of child neglect. Constance Martin and Mark Gordon were detained in Brighton last night, but still, the newborn baby still hasn't been located. The Prime Minister is in Northern Ireland this morning, and he's speaking at the moment. Even the he's trying to convince politicians there about his new Brexit deal. Even the most hardline Eurosceptics, Brexit ultras, they are described. I like that. That's quite, I imagine them in a football ground anyway. Even the most hardline Eurosceptics have welcomed the new arrangements, which could resolve issues with the Irish sea trade. The VAT, food place inflation in the UK has reached a record 17.1%. It means that those in the UK could be spending over £800 a year more on groceries than they did this time last year. Yes, we have no tomatoes, etc. Teachers across northwest England and Yorkshire and the Humber have walked out today in a row over pay. It's the first in a series of regional strikes by the National Education Union members. Manchester City have revealed plans to increase the capacity of the Etihad Stadium to over 60,000. A larger north stand will see an additional 7,000 seats added, and those are your headline. Let's have a little bit of business news. I know we don't normally do business news, but I just thought we'd give something perhaps for you to spin off on this.
Hello, I'm Ruth McKee with the latest business stories from Sky News. Rishi Sunak's heading to Northern Ireland later, having described a new deal with the EU on post-Brexit trading arrangements as a turning point and a breakthrough. There's no barrier in the Irish Sea, and Stormont could also veto certain new EU rules. It's unclear how the DUP will respond. The UK government's likely on track for a windfall of tens of billions of pounds thanks to stronger growth and lower energy prices. But the analysis from the Institute for Fiscal Studies ahead of next month's budget includes an assessment about public sector pay disputes. Gary Lineker's lawyers claim HMRC should have assessed the BBC for tax after he was handed a bill of £4.9 million. The Match of the Day host was apparently told that he should have been classed as an employee of the corporation and BT Sport rather than a freelancer. Court hearings are continuing. And drivers who are leasing new electric cars could be paying hundreds more than they need to be, with companies overcharging. Campaign Group Transport and Environment says they're as much as 50% more expensive than petrol and diesel equivalents. For more news and interviews from the city, ask your device for the Ian King Business Podcast or search for it wherever you listen to podcasts.
To contact TRE, please call 952 78 4000. Email studio at tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
The weather forecast is brought to you by Liberty Seguros. Liberty Seguros, the number one preferred expat insurer, has more than 200 dedicated expat agents and brokers who understand your needs and speak your language.
The weather on Talk Radio Europe. Find us at tre.radio.
A quick look at what your weather is doing. Costa del Sol, 11 degrees at the moment, and mainly sunny, a bit cloudy at the moment though. Granada, 4 degrees and sunny. Almeria, yes, it's the weather again. Well spotted. I mean, really, people, you know? 14 degrees, Almeria and sunny. Murcia, 8 degrees. And sunny Alicante, 11 degrees. And sunny Denia, 10 degrees. Mixture sunshine and cloud. Meanwhile, over on Ibiza, cloudy with light rain. Degrees on Parma. People, you obviously enjoy winding me up out there, don't you? That's basically, if you're going to send me WhatsApps telling me how to do my job, you know, as Billy Connolly said, don't tell me how to do my job. Do I come to your work and tell you how to sweep up? Okay? Parma. 9 degrees, overcast with moderate rain, and Gibraltar. 12 degrees in mixture of sunshine and showers.
Weather on Talk Radio Europe. Find us at tre.radio.
Viewpoint with Giles Brown.
Back with a gleam in my eye and an unbelievable pain in my lower abdomen. Let's not even go there. The reason that we do that is because we are a commercial radio station, you see, and therefore, because we don't, and some would say, thank goodness for that, charge you for the pleasure, quote unquote, and I use that advisedly in inverted commas, of listening to me on a between the hours of 10 and 12 on weekdays. Therefore, we run the weather because the weather is a constantly changing thing, as anybody who is involved in the metrological business will come back and confirm with this one. And we have, as I said before, it is kindly we kindly have sponsors for the weather, which is why we bring it into there. Okay, so that's how it operates. So it's not a question of me just repeating there. If you'd like, calm down, dear. Yes, indeed. Morning to you, Stephen, as well. Calm down, dear. It's only a radio show. 9527. And morning to Steve, who says, don't let the so-and-sos bring you down. If you want to get something off your viewpoint, if you want to let me know what's going on. Rishi Sunak is currently in County Antrim saying that the storm out break is a powerful new mechanism. And if you think I'm animated in the morning, he's currently on Sky News, leaping about like Jumping Jack Flash, nodding his head to people as he outlines some bits and pieces to workers in Antrim. So we see how that goes. VAT rates and state aid policy will all be decided by Westminster rather than Brussels. We wait to see. We should be sponsored by Gaviscon. Yes, thank you indeed. Right then, let's move on to some bits and pieces. If there's something in your viewpoint you'd like to bring up on today's show, then I'd like to hear from you. This would be, let's see, let's go. It's Dear Dan and Lucia. It's Dear Dan and Lucia this Tuesday, the 28th of February. Love to hear from you. This is an interesting one because there was news that one of the Spanish TV channels is taking bullfighting off its broadcasting. Of course, you used to be able to pick up, I think it was Toros TV or a Toros program during ferias, etc., live bullfighting broadcasting. But as Spain moves into the 21st century, it's safe to say that the number of people following bullfighting has been declining. It's hardly, you could argue, the vision of a modern European country to have bullfighting. There's been an interesting article from Mark Naylor in The Spectator. If you know The Spectator, he said, Mark Naylor wrote, is it any better morally to kill a distressed animal for steak or burgers behind the closed doors of an abattoir than to kill one as part of a tightly regulated dramatic spectacle? Such questions are being hotly debated in Spain, where bullfighting is the focus of a clash between the country's socialist-led government and the Fundación de Toro de Lidia, a non-profit organization that defends and promotes the practice. This is what Naylor wrote. The row kicked off last year after Prime Minister Pedro Sanchez introduced a voucher scheme for young people to attend cultural events for free that did not include running of bulls. Last week, the Supreme Court overturned the government's decision, citing 2013 legislation that made bullfighting part of Spain's cultural heritage. Bullfighting appears inseparable from politics, with the left arguing it's a barbaric relic and the right claiming it's an essential part of Spanish culture protected by law. In reality, This is Naylor, says it is no more political than a piece of music or a painting. As an expat who's lived in Andalusia for 8 years, one thing seems clear to him. Bullfighting exists outside the realm of politics, despite what Spanish politicians would have you believed. Ayuso, the fiery, that's a way of putting it, conservative president of Madrid, welcome court's decision and accuse the government of ideological bias, in omitting the corrida from the voucher scheme. Sergio Torres, Director General of Animal Rights at the Ministry of Social Rights, took the he calls it the classic left-wing position and tweeted that the 2013 legislation should be repealed so that bullfighting is never again classed as cultural heritage. If you didn't know, the corrida consists of three carefully choreographed thirds, or tercios, lasting 20 minutes in total. It is the torero's job to showcase the animal's strength and vitality through his artistry with the cape and then to kill cleanly and quickly. From an outsider's perspective, he writes, and as an expat who's been living in the southern region of Andalusia, the cradle of bullfighting for 8 years, it seems obvious that the corrida transcends political ideology. The criteria on which it is best judged are artistic and moral. In itself, the bullfight is no more political than a painting or a piece of music. But unlike any other piece of art, it can, of course, be put to political uses. The right, mainly composed of the Conservative Partido Popular and Vox, claims that this spectacle is an essential part of Spanish culture protected by law. There's a strong political heritage to this attitude, according to which the corrida is also a symbol of political unity. The Partido Popular was founded in 1989 by a minister who'd served under fascist dictator Francisco Franco, who himself adored bullfighting and labelled it Spain's national sport. But the left, made up of socialists and their more radical coalition party, Podemos, sees only cruelty in the bullfight, arguing that it's a barbaric relic that has no place in the progressive, EU-centric country of today. Catalan separatists from both left and right, meanwhile, base their opposition on a distinct cultural identity from which the bullfight is excluded as a symbol of the other Spain. In 2010, Catalonia became the second Spanish region to ban bullfighting 2 decades after the Canary Islands. Because of these deeply rooted associations, it would be political suicide for a high-profile member of the Socialists or Podemos to declare a love of the corrida, or for a prominent Vox or PP minister to criticize it as an anachronism. But this obscures the fact that the bullfight has never had a political color. As one expert said, that historically it's been part of life for all social classes. Look around the stands of a bullfight today and you'll see that's still the case. I beg to differ with that one. But anyway, the importance of separating bullfighting from politics is underscored by the very legislation of the Supreme Court, which you referred to in the ruling last week. The law passed in 2013 defined the corrida as an artistic manifestation in itself unrelated to ideologies that highlights deeply human values such as intelligence, courage, aesthetics, and reasoning as a way of controlling brute force. Yeah, okay. An artistic manifestation, I'll just run that by you again for your thoughts on it. An artistic manifestation, this is the bullfight, that is in itself unrelated to ideologies that highlights deeply human values, such as intelligence, courage, aesthetics, and reasoning as a way of controlling brute force. The bull obviously being brute force. This legislation was also cited by Spain's Constitutional Court in 2016 when it overturned the Catalan ban on bullfighting introduced 6 years before. Admittedly, the law defining bullfighting as an artistic manifestation was not free from political motivation. It was passed by the conservative government of Mariano Rajoy, Sanchez's predecessor and former arch rival. Nevertheless, in attempting to disentangle the corrida from Spain's polarized politics, the cultural heritage legislation of 10 years ago sets the right criteria for assessing the spectacle in its own right. One of the most powerful arguments, one of the most powerful arguments against the corrida is that it's morally problematic to kill an animal as part of a spectacle which provides some sort of enjoyment. Even though that word fails to capture the disturbing blend of emotions caused by a bullfight, but this objection must be tackled in parallel with a hard look at the morality of raising animals for human consumption. Is it any better morally to kill a distressed animal for steak or burgers behind the closed doors of an abattoir than to kill one as part of a tightly regulated dramatic spectacle in which the bull is a respected, even revered protagonist? Many who support the corrida's existence argue that the artistry and drama of a bullfight justifies the animal's suffering and death, especially in light of its long and comfortable life. Fighting bulls live wild for at least 4 years in huge pastures known as dehesas, never encountering human beings on foot. In other words, they enjoy longer and better lives than cattle raised solely for meat, who typically live for 18 months in cramped conditions, rarely if ever seeing the light of day. The meat from fighting bulls, often found in restaurants and butchers the day after a corrida, is amongst the most ecological and best quality on the planet, although it needs to be stewed for hours because of its toughness. Bullfighting exists on a moral knife edge. The arguments both for and against it are complex and nuanced, and there is no neat conclusion. And Naylor writes that I have been attending corridas for 20 years and still experience new reactions and sensations every time I walk away from a bullring. But one thing seems clear. Bullfighting exists outside the realm of politics, despite what Spanish politicians would have you believe. Your thoughts on that, if you want to get involved with today's show on this Día de Andalucía, perhaps the most representative sign of Andalusia is the bullring. Certainly the bulls that you see, the famous Torres bulls that you see, the Osborne bulls that you see, Gonzalez Baez bulls you see on the side of the roads. I think they're at the side of the roads, which are symbols of Spain. Originally advertising campaigns have now been distinguished as items of national identity. Is bullfighting an anachronistic throwback to the past, barbaric, of no relevance to modern society in Spain, a 21st century European nation? Or is it a vital part of Spanish culture? Let me know. 952-78-4000 is the phone number. studio@tre.radio is the email. The Facebook page is Talk Radio Official. You can WhatsApp me on +34 645 1996 795. I go back to thinking about one of the most influential teachers that I have ever had back in the 80s, who was a brilliant artist. His work hangs in several galleries. In fact, you will find also hanging opposite, if you go to Ronda, opposite is the restaurant, the Pedro Roman, and you will find some of his paintings hanging there. He was from Connecticut. He'd taught at the University of Berkeley in the 60s. That was an interesting situation. And his name was David Bodlack, and he was not only a maestro on the guitar, but also he was an avid fan of the corrida. He could read you chapter and verse about the artistry, the beauty of the bullfight. 952-78-4000, the phone number. studio@tre.radio is the email. Facebook page is Talk Radio Europe Official. It could be that which at first appeared a paradox, that you had an art teacher who could also see the artistry in what some would call the brutality and the barbarity of the bullfight.
To contact TRE, please call 952-78-4000. Email studio@tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 1996 795. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
Indeed, those are the ways that you can get in touch with us today on Viewpoint. With you till 12 o'clock, and then Stephen Ritson, of course, will be live with Europe Today, bringing you the latest and more reaction, I know, with no doubt, from the Windsor framework. Yes, indeed. Is it a sport? Is it a pastime? I'm talking about bullfighting. Going back to this article that appeared in the Spectator about the politicization of bullfighting. Is it a sport? Is it culture? Is it barbaric? It's the Osborne Bulls. Thank you. Thank you for that. I think there are more things to worry about than bullfighting. Yes, but you see, people will take something like this and make political capital out of it, won't they? Often those who are against are the same lot that worry more about a donkey than a human. Ooh, fighting talk there, Richard. Meanwhile, this is a painting. Somebody sent me through a painting they did of a suit of light and man. And by the way, congratulations. I can't show the painting on the internet, but it is rather splendid. Congratulations. The stitching, they weigh a fortune. They absolutely do, the suits of lights. We gave, back in the day when we did the telethon, we had a suit of lights up for auction. And I remember people trying to put it on, and it weighed an absolute ton. So it's not a flimsy garment. Anyway, this is a painting. The stitching and embroidery of the lights are magnificent, and I love the ballet of the matador, but I can't see the point of making the poor animal suffer. I would never go to a bullfight or watch one on the television. Thank you for that. 952-78-4000, the phone number, studio@tre.radio, is the email. Following me, as always, is Stephen Ritson, today with Europe Today. And then, following him, is will be Selena McKenzie with the Lifestyle Show. Thank you, squeaky microphone. Selena chats to entrepreneur, mother, and celebrity event planner. Everything's celebrity, isn't it? And celebrity event planner, Liz Taylor. No, not that one. About her amazing life and career. She says, there are times I have to pinch myself. I know the feeling. As I stand in Kensington Palace coordinating an event for a future king Thanksgiving dinner with Robbie and Ayuda Williams and their A-level guests, or ironing Howard Donald's shirt as the Take That Star practices his best man speech. On McKenzie's memories, Selena looks back at her interview with Anne Nolan, of course, Stronger Together, how we're living while fighting for more than 40 years as a member of the Irish girl group, the Nolans. But they sister sat next to each other because Linda and Anne had a devastating cancer diagnosis. And at 3:30, Selena will be chatting to Tom Quinn about children growing up in the royal family. Looking at that one, she looks back at gilded youth, looking at centuries of royal and aristocratic children misbehaving, often hilariously. And that's that one, of course. At Hannah will be with us with TRE in the afternoon. Her guests include a quick roundup with our own Howard Brereton of the Spanish News. Nicholas James shares his story of more than 20 years as working as a plumber. Nick has shared thousands of mugs of teas with hundreds of fascinating people, giving a plumber's eye view. That's an interesting one. Never heard of that would be called. A plumber's eye view of a society in a series of entertaining, amusing, and outrageous beneath the kitchen sink dramas. Randy Braun talks to Hannah about her passion to change women's lives, and she's doing it by one play at a time. Certified executive coach Randy Brown, that's with an I, isn't it always, wrote a new playbook. And at 25 to 6, Hannah chats to Barbara J. Zweeter. All she's learnt about the fascinating country of Korea. a vibrant global powerhouse of culture and industry. Presumably, she's talking South Korea, with an enduring devotion to the ancient philosophies of Hwan, Haeyong, and Jaeyong. And excuse my pronunciation, and you'll be listening in South Korea. Resilience, joy, and the art of giving. That's coming up. This program, Howard Brereton brings us Spain today, and then you get a repeat of today's viewpoint from seven until 9 o'clock. That's all coming up on TRE Talk Radio Europe. Your voice in Spain.
The remix.
This guy decided to charge his phone by sawing off the end of a 240 volt with wet hands.
A recap of the best interviews of the week.
Gratitude is a very, very powerful emotion. Gratitude is really an affirmation of goodness.
Saturdays from 1 p.m. and Sundays from 2 p.m.
I will cross the sea if my life wasn't dangerous, if I want to see my children having future.
On GB, not GQ, we discover what it's really like to hang out with some of the world's most famous musicians.
There was this lovely-looking fella sitting on a flight case, and with a very friendly voice, he went, "Watch up!" That was Mr. Bowie himself.
It's GB, not GQ.
He and Tina Turner, as you say, a force of nature. Simply the best female entertainer even then.
Find out this and more from 4 o'clock every Friday with It's GB, not GQ.
I came off the stage, and as I walked past Lemmy, he said to me, "When do you get to play the good one then?"
To contact TRE, please call 952-78-4000. Email studio@tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
Those are the numbers you can get in touch with. Some breaking news. A rapist who self-identified as female during criminal proceedings has been sentenced to 8 years in prison. Isla Bryson was found guilty of attacking two women near Glasgow in 2016 and 2019 when she went by the name of Adam Graham. Her convictions led to controversy surrounding her initial detention in a female jail. So that's a rapist who self-identified as female during criminal proceedings, being sentenced to 8 years in prison. That's some breaking news. I'm sure that that will be at the top of the stories when we go to the national and international news at the top of the hour. We were trying to get hold of John Sweeney in Ukraine at the moment, but unfortunately we can't get hold of him. But this also crossed my radar. This is by, so it's he, not her. Then no, it's not. It's she's. As I trip over my pronouns. No, now identifies as a female. So we now assume it's no longer Adam Graham. Isla Bryson is her name, self-identifying. You can kick that particular can of worms down the road as far as you want until it ends up at our past Europe today. Meanwhile, he self-identified. Yeah, I know. I'm just going what the official news networks are doing. Okay. Meanwhile, takes he, she, it, or they. I'm talking to you, Sam Smith. Take a deep cleansing breath. Let's have a look. I was talking the situation in Ukraine a year. Yeah, I can call you. Yeah. You can call me Wendy. I can call you whatever I like, sweetie, but I'm sure that Wendy in production will be a bit upset. Meanwhile, ultra-patriots are Putin's greatest threat. This coming down the line a year after Russia's invasion of Ukraine. If you sat through the speech or saw some of the speech that Putin put out last week. Anyway, biggest threat facing Putin today isn't from Western sympathizing but anti-war liberals, but right-wing, Russian right-wing, get this, ultra-patriots, frustrated by the Russian army failures in Ukraine. Earlier this month, Russian MP Oleg Matveyev warned of a potential coup. The situation is not so critical yet, but 2023 will be very dangerous. Turbo patriots are now the only danger to our state. The dire premonitions are exaggerated, but with Alexei Navalny in prison and many liberals in exile, disillusioned patriots are the only opposition force left in town. They include ordinary Russians who are furious with the elites from profiting from the fighting while buying and schmoozing their way out of military service. But that doesn't translate into a desire to end the fighting. The ultra-patriots want Russia to be victorious over Ukraine and the West, even if it means waging war. Harder, faster, and more effectively. These turbo patriots don't form a coherent political group. Rather, they are an unholy combination of etho-nationalist, opportunistic military bloggers, imperial romantics, volunteer groups, and neo-Nazis. What they all share is militaristic nationalism, distrust of the West and of liberalism more broadly, patriarchal values, and a strong desire to see Russia win over its enemies. One of the best known turbo patriots is Igor Gurkin, who is 52, who never misses an opportunity to denounce Putin's handling of the war. A former SSB officer, Gurkin is backed by the imperialist orthodox billionaire and coup plotter extraordinaire, Konstantin Malofiev. He played a pivotal role in sparking the 2014 conflict in Donbass, but was recalled to Moscow after the downing of flight MH17 and the deaths of its 298 passengers, for which a Dutch court found him guilty of in absentia in 2022. Gurkin mockingly refers to Putin as our sacred geogalactic brain strategist and has accused Russia's defense minister, Sergei Shoigu, of criminal negligence. Well, it's clear Putin is also unhappy with his generals. Ultra-patriots like Gurkin believe his constant interference with military strategy is only making the situation worse. Just thinking of other autocratic leaders who interfered with their militaries. Barbarossa, 1941. Anyway, the Russian president is micromanaging from afar, causing delays in the already stilted army communications networks. By shuffling commanders around, he is heightening confusion while further depressing the troops. The Kremlin has gone to great lengths to undermine Gurkin's appeal, preventing him from traveling to the front line to fight and settling Putin's attack dog, Yevgeny Prigozhin, the 61-year-old head of the Wagner Group, against him. Prigozhin, like Gurkin, also belongs to the disparate band of ultra-patriots. This week, he accused Shoigu and his most senior general of treason for withholding ammunition and supplies from Wagner fighters. The difference is that Prigozhin is unflinchingly loyal to Putin. Meanwhile, the most extreme ultra-patriots come from the right-wing neo-Nazi groups who despise the ethnic minorities that are overrepresented in the regular Russian army. Their popularity is limited in Russia, where ethnic nationalism has traditionally been viewed with suspicion. With 190 different ethnic groups, Russia is too diverse for any ruler to use ethnicity as a rallying cry, for which reason managing ethno-nationalism has long been a political priority for Putin. But that doesn't mean there isn't a latent audience for many of the ultra-right-wing ideals. The neo-Nazis may lack supporters, but the xenophobic ideas they propagate echo the prejudices of many Russians who are hostile to dark-skinned people from the Northern Caucasus and the former Soviet Union. The statement of Russia for ethnic Russians has reached its highest level of approval since polling began more than 30 years ago, with some 55% of Russians now agreeing with it. This speaks more to a stubborn everyday racism than to an ideological commitment, but it lays the groundwork for a more sophisticated patriotic narrative to take hold. Few ultra-patriots are neo-Nazis. Most are far less radical. Patriotic volunteer groups have sprung up in response to the army's woeful lack of equipment and food, reflecting a new lease of life for the otherwise moribund Russian civil society. These grassroots movements contrast sharply with the corruption of Russia's elites. If you remember when I interviewed Garen Esler, he described Russia as a kleptocracy brilliantly, which has become a matter of life and death, with soldiers' equipment being stolen or going missing. One recent scandal, covered generously in the nationalist-leaning media, concerned a company belonging to the son of a prominent official, which was selling army uniforms at inflated profits and pocketing the difference. Roman Uniman, 27, is the influential volunteer, is a founder of an influential volunteer movement called Society Future. Born in Germany, he has criticized Putin's invasion of Ukraine, but still wants the Russian army to win, adding a my country right or wrong stance that resonates widely with Russian society. To spread his message, he has led humanitarian missions to Mariupol and Severodonetsk. He is using Society Future to raise funds for war-stricken civilizations, but also as a political launchpad, touring the country to share his views of the problems blighting Russia's future. One prominent member of Society Future is Nikolai Kolosov, a former Donbass fighter turned political activist. He dismissed the conquest of Ukraine as an impossible dream that Russian people don't want and the Russian army isn't capable of. His victory shows that the post-popular ultra payments aren't the most radical but the most realistic. He believes the Kremlin should stop the war, reinforce the occupation of Donbass, and spend the money and resources on solving the many problems that Russians face at home. Meanwhile, another pro-war civil activist, Anastasia Karasevanova, is similarly critical of the Kremlin's decision. She helps women and mothers find missing husbands and sons, arranging prison exchanges and hunting down information. However, there is a dark side about this patriotism. Not everyone is welcome. Society's future leaders are disparaging of Russia's Muslim minority North Caucasus regions, especially Chechnya, and the Putin loyalist head of Chechnya, Razman Kadyrov. They openly balk at Muslim battalions like Akhmat attacking Slavic Ukrainians and complain that Chechens enjoy privileged treatments in Russia. The West tends to overstate the importance of Russia's liberal opposition. The probability is that when the Putin regime eventually falls, ordinary Russians will not turn to exiled liberals in Vilnius. Rather, they will look at those ultra-patriots that stayed around, supported them, and in their eyes, saved Russians from further suffering. An interesting article that was from Jade McGlynn, a Russian analyst, who publishing a book called Russia's War, Dr. Jade McGlynn, that coming out on the 17th of March. Into the last 7 minutes or so of Viewpoint, if you have a point you want to get across, before we go to Stephen Ritson, these are the numbers.
To contact TRE, please call 952-78-4000. Email studio@tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
And away from all that thing that could Russia lurch to a more ultra-nationalistic stance, we've got Jer for Daybreak in the Morning, but here's Dave's promo.
Hi, Dave.
Hi, Murray.
Hi, I am really concerned about you.
What? Why?
Well, I have been listening back to Daybreak, and you seem to be obsessed with food.
Me? Obsessed with food? No.
Yes, have a listen to this.
We like the fluffiness of the bread and not gazpacho because it's wrong. Samarako's right. I thought you were talking about cheese. No. Brie.
You relate everything to food.
I know. I can't help it, Mary. I love food. Yeah, you seem to be right. I do talk about food a lot. But we have lots more on the show. We have Lost Lyrics. We have the Would I Lies to You. We have entertainment news. We have sports news. The list goes on, Mary.
Can they really stop talking about food? To find out, tune in Monday to Friday, 8 till 10 for Daybreak.
Is that the promo finish now, Mary? Because I can smell my bacon cooking.
Indeed, live to the lines we go. Morning, call you live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Well, it's down to the last 10-minute rush, so yep. I thought I'd join in first.
Yes, it's always good. It's like the Light Brigade at Balaclava. Off we go.
I'm not wearing a balaclava.
Let's not even go there.
Can you see anyway?
Yeah, anyway, it's cold out there. It's snowing in Mallorca. It's snowing. Good morning to my mate Dallas, who sent me a picture yesterday of him just about to leap in the pool in Mallorca. And as the pool was covered in snow at the time, or the edge was covered in snow. Anyway, Alf, what's your viewpoint, please?
No viewpoint. I was just going to congratulate you on being able to talk through the last clashing of viewpoint with hardly anybody coming in.
Because I am basically, as I say many times, Alf, radio is a job for madmen. You sit in a room and you talk to yourself, and nobody can be listening.
I know you're mad.
Exactly. And if you know my lifestyle, I basically live in a house on my own on a lake with a cat, and I just sit in a room and talk to myself with nobody listening.
And I've got the pictures to prove.
You have indeed. It is indeed. It is the vacaciones de conducir de autobuses, a busman's holiday. You could put it mildly.
Absolutely, but I congratulate you because what you've been doing is interesting anyway. So
yeah, swan paddling above the. I think I can go to trade union organisation or at least negotiation. Alf, don't you think?
Not in Spain. I've never managed to work out what they do in Spain.
Let's not even go there.
Every time I mention a trade union in Spain, everybody glazes over. So.
Yes, but it puts the fear of whatever into if you say I'm going to get the UGT involved in any dispute, you can just see people sort of glaze over and
absolutely, or the building site people. I tried talking to some of them. That was like worse than talking to a building site in England.
I'm just laughing because Richard, who is indeed. I mean, he's great. And Richard, I salute you. You send me some stuff on the side. But it's just images of Blofeld spring to mind. Me on my own in a lakeside lair with a cat. Well, I got the hairstyle, Richard, so thank you for that.
But it's not a white cat and you're not stroking it, are you?
No. It's not a white cat.
Keep your hands to yourself.
My cat is grey and it's called 50 Shades for that very reason, because it's 50 Shades of Grey. Right then. Alf, I know. Leave him with a laugh. Again? Hey?
Yes. Well, a laugh. I'll leave you with a laugh. Boris Johnson.
That's a laugh indeed. If we're looking for Bond villains, he wouldn't even cut the mustard. Alf, thanks for the call in there.
Cheers,
good to hear
mate.
From you as well. 952-784-4000 is the phone number. Studio at tre.radio is the email. Because I have this thing with Viewpoint, is because the lines can go very, very quiet, and then in the last 10 minutes, people start phoning in. But again, it is a national holiday. It has been an interesting show, to put it mildly. Well, an interesting show. What I mean by that is we had a couple of... The thing with Viewpoint is that we have guests that we arrange, and people appear on Viewpoint from the goodness of their hearts because they want to get involved, and this is what we do radio for. And apart from my coffee making skills, there is no financial inducement to appear on Viewpoint. And I can hear some of you shouting at the radio going, go too bleeding right. So today being a national holiday, I had a couple of guests who were going to be lined up, but unfortunately they were unable to make it due to medical and other reasons. So thank you very much. And also, with John Sweeney, he is somewhere in Ukraine at the moment. I'm just going to send, so we weren't able to get hold of him for very obvious reasons. Morning, Corley, you're live on TRE. What's your name? What's your viewpoint? Where are you calling? Hello. Yes, you're on.
Kate Costabella.
Yes, Kate.
Just on Alf's last point.
Yeah.
Brief. Was that Boris Johnson is not a laughing point. Whether he was a worse a prime minister than Cameron is, there's pros and cons on both sides, but Johnson did a fair amount of damage to Britain in his brief stay.
Yeah.
I mean, he's not a laughing matter. He decided he wasn't going to get, he won't get enough support if he tries, and Sam Jenkins is suggesting that he gets... Runa should ban him from the party.
Well, I wouldn't guess, but no. If you go down that route in the Corbyn route, you can all sorts of trouble. But
no. You mean what Starmer has done to? Corbyn.
But Rich coming in said Bodger does damage everywhere he goes. Kate, he's a perspiring tornado. I like that. But also his cunning, his genius, quote unquote, is the fact that he, like many, he appears the buffoon. This was part of the act, wasn't this? He's not an idiot. He's not a figure of fun. He's actually, and this will get, I should have said this at the beginning of the hour, but this is all people have said, this is an act, that the unkempt hair, the whole hail fellow well met routine is in fact completely pre-planned and calculated.
Totally agree. But a buffoon's appearance doesn't mean that we should ignore the fact that he's done an awful lot of real serious damage.
Yeah, indeed. Boris Johnson's done, Boris Johnson an act ever since Eton. Kate, thanks for your call in. Always Cheers. Great to hear from an important part of the show. Just like Jacob Rees-Mogg, the walking pencil. Wasn't it that he was described by James O'Brien as a haunted Victorian pencil, wasn't he? Indeed. Thank you for that. Thank you, Richard, for the comments coming in. You are indeed the quivers and arrows of whatever, and it's always good to have you with us, even though sometimes you do rile me up rather spectacularly, but it wouldn't be the same without you. Group hug, everybody. Right then, almost out of time. It has, once again, been my pleasure and my privilege to bring you today's viewpoint. Again, apologies that we couldn't get John Sweeney over in Ukraine. I will try and get him at some point in the very near future. Just left a message to say, hope everything is okay with you over there. I'm sure we'll have him back with some insight from there as well. Thanks for you all for your comments in. Viewpoint is a show that, we need your input to make it work as well. Because obviously that is half the point of having a show like that, like this, like that, or whatever. And, Richard sent me a picture of Dr. Evil from Austin Powers doing group hug. Yes, indeed. Pity, John Sweeney couldn't make it. I always enjoyed the frisson of dump button anxiety when John is on the phone. And by the way, how about stopping bullfighting and horse jumping? Now that would be upset a few people. That's about the bullfighting stuff. And by the way, the painting is on display in a Nerka restaurant and somebody rips it apart with a knife. Good grief. Anyway, thanks very much for all your calls in today. I'll be back tomorrow with Let's Talk. Stephen Ritson is up next.
Views expressed on Viewpoint by invited studio guests and callers do not constitute an opinion endorsed in any way by Talk Radio Europe.
You've been listening to a TRE production. If you've enjoyed this program, there'll be another episode waiting for you next week, right here on this platform, where you can also access our extensive back catalogue of shows and interviews. For more information on our live programming, social media channels and apps, and how to contact Talk Radio Europe, please visit tre.radio.
This holiday season, reach for the one butter that never disappoints, Kerrygold. Made with milk from grass-fed cows on Irish family farms, it's rich, creamy, and perfect for baking. Whether browning butter for cookies or crafting the flakiest pie crust, Kerrygold's high butterfat content makes all the difference in flavor and texture. Holiday treats will taste extraordinary.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.